Imagine, if you would, you are driving home from work one day. You're driving home from work one day, and it's a normal day. You have a normal day at work, nothing special. You get up, you go to work, you have a normal day. Everything's great, fantastic, fine. You're not expecting anything when you go home to be different or out of the ordinary. You're driving in your car, and you pull up to your house, and instead of seeing your house, you see a pile of rubble where your house was at. That happened to one lady in the state of Texas. A lady by the name of Lindsay Diaz came home to work one day and found a pile of rubble where her house was. Apparently, a demolition company had was supposed to tear down a house that day, and they went on Google Maps to find the location of the house, and Google Maps had the place listed wrong. And so when they were supposed to tear down a house on 7601 Custode Drive, they went to 7601 Calypso Drive. See, what Google had done was when they put it in, they had both listed at the same place. And so when the demolition company showed up, they thought they were at the right place. They tore the house down. And this lady comes to find her house completely destroyed. But don't worry. When Google found out, they changed it. And they said, "I'll make sure that doesn't happen again." So I'm sure she's happy to know that if people get it wrong, they won't drive up to a pile of rubble. But I had a couple thoughts about that. Because this is a little thing. I mean, you think about it, it's a little thing. I mean, did Google think that was just close enough? You know, I don't know how close Custode and Calypso Drive are. But does Google think, close enough? No, well, not a big deal. Well, that little bit was a huge deal. And my first thought is, why is this demolition company using Google Maps to find the places that they're going to destroy? Why wouldn't they drive out earlier and check and make sure the house is the actual house? I don't know. But that little change caused a big change in this lady's life. Little things mean a lot. Even when it comes to helping others, little things mean a lot. Jesus told us that very thing when helping others. Matthew recorded, Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, these words. "And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward." A small act of kindness with a small cup to a small child makes a difference. As we talk about a cup of water, we go to one of Jesus' phrases on the cross. Now, he said it on the video. But we find it in John chapter 19, verse 28 and 29, when we read this. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill Scripture, 'I thirst.' A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth." My question is this: I wonder how long Jesus was thirsty. I wonder how long Jesus was thirsty before he said, "I thirst." But my kids who are thirsty, as soon as they got thirsty, they'd be running up, "I want water, I want a drink, I want water, I want a drink." Wouldn't wait. But Jesus, this is definitely not the the case. See, we can take some significant things from those two words, I thirst. The first is our first point this morning. Put others first. Put others first. Jesus is the ultimate model for us. He's a great, wonderful model. And I want you to think about the words that he has said before we got to I thirst. He said, Father, forgive them. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. He said, woman, behold your son and behold your mother. He said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And now he says, I thirst. What a great model that we find when it comes to our needs. Putting others first. What would marriages, what would families and friendships look like if before we expressed our own needs, we took the time to look at the needs of others? But that was Jesus. That's who Jesus is. He is the Son of God who sacrificed everything for us. He put everyone else ahead of himself. And we read that. I've read this many times. Philippians chapter 2. We read that very example. Starting in verse 3. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Having this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That should be us as well. I love the words that John wrote, as we find in 1 John chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. John has it right. We should be walking the same way. Walking in the same way as Christ. That's who we should be striving to live like. And John's not the only one to say this. Paul's not the only one to say this. Peter himself also wrote, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. This is what Jesus was trying to get in the head of the rich young ruler. Don't worry about all the things. Just follow me. Put others first. More specifically, put God first. That's what we must do. So not only in the big choices. See, to me, I find it in the big choices, it's easy to step up and say that. But it seems to me we get bogged down more in the little choices. The things we deal with day to day. Oh, that's not a big thing. I'm not going to worry about that. Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. The little choices are important as well. And we got to make sure in all our choices we're saying God first, others first. Jesus could have been up there on the cross and the first thing he starts saying is, I thirst, I thirst, I thirst. But he didn't. He took care of others first, asking God to forgive everyone who put him on that tree. Telling that thief, today you'll be with me in paradise. Taking care of his mom. When he is in horrific pain, we must do the same. We must do the same. Look to others. Look at others first. My next point this morning is this. We got to stay focused on our decisions. You know, there were two times when Jesus was on the cross, he was offered something to drink. Two times when he was on the cross, he was offered something to drink. One of the times is here in this account. Let me read it again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. And that actually fulfilled scripture. You know, as we read in there, and we go back to Psalm 69:21, they gave me poison for food, and for my thirst they gave me sour wine to drink. But there was another moment when they offered him something. We find this recorded in Mark 15:23. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. Huge difference in those two passages. In John, it was sour wine. The other was wine mixed with myrrh. Jesus didn't drink the wine mixed with myrrh because the wine mixed with myrrh would have really dulled his senses. It wouldn't have been as painful. It wouldn't have hurt as bad because he would have been numb. He would have been kind of out of it when he was on the cross. And that's not what Jesus wanted to do. He wanted to be able to focus on what he was doing. Yes, it was going to be painful. It was going to hurt. He was going to be in agony. But he wasn't about to dull his senses and not be focused on the task at hand. And for us, we need to be the same way as well. We need to stay focused. It's easy to come here to church and sing four or five songs, pray for offering, take up offering, take communion, pray for communion, pray for those who are sick, listen to me talk for 20 or 30 minutes, greet one another, sing a song of invitation, and walk out the door and be done. That's easy to do. And then you go about your week and not do anything. Just do whatever. That's not what God wants us to do. Jesus said in Luke 9:23, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily. It doesn't say he must deny himself and take up his cross between 9 and noon on Sunday morning once a week and follow me. It doesn't say that. It says take up his cross daily. Every day. We are to stay focused with each and every decision in our lives. Big or small. Every choice is important. Just like Jesus said in Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. Don't just focus on the big things. The little things are important too. And it should be such in our nature, in our attitude, in our habit, that we don't look over the little things, that the little things are significant as well, and that we take the time to do those little things and not even think twice about, should I do that? Do I really need to do that today? No. We do it. We help those who are in need. We honor God in all of our decisions. Which leads to my third point. Big or small, it all adds up. Now let me say, before I get into this third point, I am not saying work saves you. Before you get from this point that I am saying that works saves you, that is not what I'm saying. Works do not save you. We are saved by grace through faith. But we understand that grace has been given to us. The work on the cross was done by Jesus. We have been shown a love that we don't deserve. We should be wanting to serve, to show that love that was shown us, to serve in love, to serve in thankfulness for the blessings that we've received. I think James says it best. If you would, turn your Bibles. James chapter 2. James says it best. I can't find a better way of explaining it. James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, by faith itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. You believe that there is one God? Good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. You foolish man. Do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was it not our ancestor Abraham considered righteous for what he did, what he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scripture was fulfilled that day. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is justified by what he does, and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. The deeds complement our faith. Or in other words, we have faith in God. You're going to see that faith in what we do, in how we live. If we are truly thankful for God's grace, then we're going to be serving. Not because it's required, because we are so excited to serve. We are so excited to do this because, hey, I'm saved. I have been blessed by God. Christ died for me. As the old expression is, we should be chomping at the bit. Because we are excited to show the world, I love Jesus. and I want to serve. You see Jesus talking there about just giving a simple cup of water to a child. Is it a big thing? No. To them, it's a big thing. When you're out working all day and you don't have a drink and you come in to get a drink, how big is that cup of water? How big is that cup of water? It's huge. You're thirsty. What may not be big to us is certainly big to those in need. And if we don't have the excitement to help those who are in need, if we don't care about helping those in need, then what are we doing? And if we're like those people at the first part of that passage, yeah, I pray that you get some food. I pray that you get taken care of. Knowing we have the stuff and don't do a thing about it. And then we say, I'll pray for you. That doesn't make us Christian. That makes us horrible people. To know that we could have helped somebody and we didn't. If we truly believe, then we're not going to hesitate to serve. Jesus put the needs of others first because he cared. If we love God, we will as well. So let us do as Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Do not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Put others first. Stay focused on our decisions. Keep serving in big ways and in little ways. Or just keep serving. Period. Jesus didn't stop until he accomplished everything he needed to do for us. He put us first. And now he wants us to make him Lord. This morning we're going to offer a time of invitation. A time we can come forward and accept that gift that was bought and paid for us by Christ on that cross. You can come forward today and give your life to Christ, making him Lord and Savior. You can do that today. Come forward and confess him Lord. Repent. Be baptized. Start a new walk with God. You can do that today. Won't you come forward as we stand and sing a song of invitation?